Bernie Madoff died earlier this year. For those of you who don't know him, he ran a Ponzi scheme that lasted 4 decades and robbed people of over $65 billion with a B. But what's to stop the next Bernie Madoff? Today, we're going to talk about practical steps you can take to spot the red flags and protect yourself from being the next victim.
Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors, and if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready, because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense podcast.
Today, we're talking about the advisor you're meeting with to make your financial plans, but many of these principles could also be used to filter the media that you're consuming related to finances as well.
With so many voices out there calling themselves experts, it can be hard to know who to trust and who is trying to take advantage of others. So what can you do to spot the fraud, and how can you appropriately or properly vet the person from whom you're taking that personal financial advice? And I mean, I would say that obviously it takes a lot of research, because what we tell folks all the time is you definitely want to know who you're getting into business with. Mm-hmm. So what would you say are the proper steps to go about doing that?
So the first thing to understand is there is a lot of information on the internet, but there's not a lot of wisdom. You know, you can find data, but that doesn't mean that you can always find application through that. So it is important to have somebody advocating for you, but we want to make sure that when you make that relationship that you feel empowered to make a good decision there. So first thing we want to do is, before you even meet with an advisor, you can check their background and their record on a site called brokercheck.finra.org. So on individuals, this provides their licensing information, because if they're not on that site, they're not securities licensed. So if they're trying to give you recommendations for investments, you may want to check on that, because they might be hampered in what they can offer you, or they may not be who they say they are.
Huge red flag.
Yes. And it'll also list any actions, complaints, or reprimands that they've endured. There actually were tons of those on Bernie Madoff, and it just did not, they didn't quite make it to the level that people noticed. But if you're meeting with somebody, check that. You can search their name on the internet also to see if there's been any just plain old legal filings against them. But something that I didn't know, actually, that you told me about, was related to an organization.
Yeah. So on brokercheck.com, where, again, you can search for these, any individual that's licensed, you can also research their company, right? Their organization that they're affiliated with, to see if at the organization level there's been any sort of complaints filed as well.
So that's great. So the first step is make sure that they're licensed if they're giving you planning advice related to investments or your financial future. The other thing to do is interview them. Take some time to meet with them and understand. We've got some basic questions, and these will be listed in the show notes later for you to review if you ever want them. First question is, are you a fiduciary? So if you're going to ask, you need to know what that means. Mark, what's a fiduciary?
A fiduciary is basically the textbook definition would be somebody that acts in the best interest of another individual, right? So in our industry, for example, and with our license, it's the actions that somebody, that a prudent investor would make.
So the idea is that you and I, because of our licensing, we're what's called fully licensed. We are legally obligated to act in the best interest of our clients. So that's an important first question to ask, is are you a fiduciary? Because it tells you about their licensing. And what are some other questions they can ask?
So one of the things that I would say you would want to ask is, who is your ideal client, right? Mm-hmm. Because whatever they say, you know, you can obviously kind of check to see, okay, do I kind of fill in that spot? I mean, am I a good fit for that? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, who would keep my money and the records, right, of the transactions, which in our industry, we call that a broker dealer. It's typically who is the custodian of the accounts, and, you know, who also places a lot of the trades for those accounts.
Another one would be, what is your investment philosophy? Because if it's not in alignment with what you're hoping to accomplish, that may be a red flag for you. Or if they don't know what it is, if they don't know what they are doing with their client's money, then that might be a red flag too.
And I would say that's kind of one of the differences that marks us, right? I think, you know, in most of our meetings with clients, we're kind of upfront to tell people, hey, we're not stockbrokers. We're not, you know, the hot stock guys. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for, then that's not going to be us for you. We were more, you know, the long-term buy and hold type of investors, and that's something that we tell people up front. It's kind of what our investment strategy is.
Another thing you need to understand is, what are their expenses? We don't think expenses are bad. The only time an expense is bad is when there's a lack of value. So we don't think expenses are something to run from, but we do think you should understand what those expenses are.
Mm-hmm. And what is the purpose of an investment strategy, right? So if somebody's recommending an investment for you, I would always make sure to ask why.
And then, you know, are there any products you can't sell? This will tell you, again, it goes back to that licensing. Sometimes an advisor has a hampered ability to offer things. You know, depending on who their broker dealer is, they may be beholden to certain products. So it's important to ask them, what can't you offer me, to make sure there's not something you're missing there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that can also lead to the next question. Are there any conflicts of interest that I need to know about? You know, if they are a part owner in a certain broker dealer and they're also encouraging you to purchase things, that could be a red flag that you may want to consider.
Yeah. For example, when talking to, I would say this applies a lot to life insurance folks, yes, right? So if you are working with somebody that can only sell a one specific company's type of life insurance, right? That might be a really important thing to know is, you know, is that a conflict of interest? I mean, mm-hmm. Does that make them have to provide a recommendation that might not be in your best interest, or mm-hmm. something that there might be another product that is more suitable for you that they cannot offer to you?
And it may be that what they're offering is a great fit. It's just important for you as the investor to know that and to be well-educated before you make those decisions. So ask yourself, when you're in that interview, is this person educating me or are they talking over my head? Do they want to know who I am before they try to recommend something to me?
We believe strongly that a good financial advisor should have the heart of an educator. Mm-hmm. And that's what we aim to do.
And then, are they selling products? Or are they seeking to work with me toward my goals? We talked in a previous episode about a study conducted by Morningstar. We talked about it. We called it ghost goals, where people thought certain things were their goals. They found out later different things were their goals when they were kind of put in front of this list of other options. That's part of the importance of having a solid financial advisor. We say whoever asks the most questions wins, because as an advisor, often what someone says is their goal. When you start asking them, well, why? Why? What about that's important to you? What made you think of that? Often you realize there's another goal that's actually the priority. And if they're not doing that with you, if they're just taking that first goal that you throw out and they go, oh, I got a product for you, that may be a reason to consider interviewing some other people to see if there's someone who may help you dig deeper.
Exactly. A good financial advisor will help you discover your deeper goals.
So we talked about how it's important to research who you're going to work with. The next thing is to build a firewall for your finances. So we talked about a broker dealer, and something that's really important about that, they're called a third party custodian, is that it provides a firewall of sorts for your finances. So the things that broker does for you as the investor is they're going to give you confirmations when changes are made on your accounts. They're going to provide you with statements that you can review for errors or omissions or transactions that maybe you didn't approve. What are some other things they do for you?
Yeah, obviously they provide you with regular statements, oversight of the accounts in terms of compliance, mm-hmm. things like that, that are, you know, obviously very important, because being in the financial industry, I mean, there's so many regulations that mm-hmm. That these professionals have to keep up with.
Yes. And in our case, they do help us when there's a new law passed. Hey, we knew it was coming because they warn us on the front end, but we also know when it's passed so that we can make sure to implement it in time to be compliant. When I was younger, my daddy taught me this phrase, trust but check. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your financial advisor, you want someone that you can like, trust, and believe. But it's also important that you as the investor take the time to follow up on things and double check, because we're human. You know, there's times where we can miss something. So it's important to be your own advocate too. And when you see something that doesn't quite make sense, or you see an investment that you go, man, I don't know what that's doing for me, take the time to talk to your advisor about that, because that's an important step in protecting yourself too. So we said research them. We talked about building a firewall for your finances by making sure that they are using a third party custodian. What's the next step?
Yeah, watch out for promises that are too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's many folks out there that, they want to make a sales pitch, right? So they're mm-hmm. going to make things sound really, really nice and build, you know, what we call, you know, pie in the sky promises.
Yeah. So, in the case of Madoff, he had none of his clients lost money for years, they thought. All of their statements showed positive every single month, even when there were financial issues going on in the market. And so that was part of what we're talking about here, and kind of explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. So basically, whenever somebody guarantees you some mm-hmm. sort of return, right, that's always a red flag, because in this industry, I mean, we can't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
Right. There's a few products that provide guarantees and will, you know, kind of let you know what those look like and what those specifics are. But there's no such thing as an outlandish, you know, return mm-hmm. that is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. So it's important to understand that the market is variable by nature, and anyone who says it's not would be someone that I'd be concerned about. And the last thing we're going to talk about is when you feel like you're being ghosted or gaslit. You know, how does your advisor respond or don't respond to your questions, because that can be a red flag. Does your advisor seek to educate you when you have questions, or do they just kind of talk over your head and use jargon, which is like a four-letter word in our company? When we start to use it, we go, oh, sorry, let me back up. But, you know, do they get mad when you ask questions? Do they try to talk down to you? Those should all be red flags. Do they just not call?
Right.
You know, I'll say there's times where it takes a minute to get back to a client, but to just not respond is not okay.
Yeah. When emails go unresponded, calls go unanswered, that's a huge flag. But on the other hand, you know, if every other day you're getting called about, hey, do you have some extra money lying around somewhere to invest? I mean, that's another red flag as well.
I know during all the COVID stuff, a lot of people have asked us, well, you're getting a lot of phone calls. We actually weren't getting a ton of phone calls from our retirees, but I got a lot of calls from my, what we call accumulators, those who are building their wealth, wanting to give me money. And I kept having to talk them down off the ledge because we were talking about emergency funds that they wanted to throw in there at the opportunity. I was like, no, you can't do that. So yeah, you're right. And another one that came up when I was studying about what Bernie Madoff did is that he would have people email him on a personal email address or call him on a personal number. And that's really not normal. You know, there are people that have our cell phone numbers because we knew them before they were clients or whatever, and they might call me on my personal phone, but I'm always going to communicate through my work platforms when possible, because that is a compliance issue.
Yes.
So if they're not wanting to talk to you through their work email, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's not just suspect, it's also a kind of a breach in compliance.
Yeah. So we're going to give you our two cents on this. You know, if something feels too good to be true, yeah, sorry, it is. There's no easy button to financial independence, and you want to have the right person coaching you on that journey. I hope you've heard some helpful tips that you can apply in your life. But if nothing else, please trust, but check.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there who call themselves financial gurus. Mm-hmm. But, you know, are they the right fit for you? You know, going back to what Teresa said earlier, do you like, trust, and believe them? That's a huge part of it. And, you know, if they've checked out as far as your research goes, if the firewall is there, you know, if you know, they're not making out all these outlandish promises, and if their communication style is good, then yeah, that's kind of what we go back to. You know, do you like, trust, and believe them?
Exactly. So thank you for joining us today. Check out the show notes for a link to that broker check site and for that list of questions that you can ask during that interview process. We've given you our two cents on how to avoid the next Bernie Madoff. So join us on our next episode when we talk about what you can do to protect your loved ones financially when you're no longer here with them. Thanks for listening to the Talking Sense podcast. And if you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The GenWealth team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success.
GenWealth Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.